Thank you, guys. Good morning. That was my husband, just so you know. All right. Hopefully you guys are staying around to see the building afterwards. It's been so much fun to see it come together. So if you can't stay today, I do encourage you to come back next week. That'll be the last week we're doing the walkthrough from it. But before then, I do have something to share, so I'm going to pray, and we'll jump in. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the hope that was just released. And, Lord, I just also prophesy that people are going to leave here. And the people who are watching that aren't here, that before this day is over, that they will have encountered you. And that the places of despair in their lives would actually become strongholds of hope. Lord, I thank you that as we prepare to close this year and go into a new one, that you are doing a new thing and that there are endless possibilities. So Lord, I too just ask that you would even now be ministering, that you would be sending your Holy Spirit as a wind that would blow away, Father, the just the ashes from the places that have been burned this year. We've all experienced that in some degree. And Lord, I pray that you would blow it away and that in its place that there would be a new thing. That there would be, that you're not just, you are not a God of destruction, but you are a God of hope. And so you will build something new in the place of ruins in our lives. And so we thank you for that, Father, and we thank you that we don't have to know how. We don't have to understand anything about it. All we have to know is that it might be impossible, but that our God is the God of impossible. So, Father, we just thank you. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak to hearts today, that you would bring healing, that you would bring hope, and that you would just encourage us, that we would all be strengthened and filled with faith at this upcoming year. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the last time I spoke, I shared a little bit about some of the road trips that our family has gone on. And particularly, I said that my older kids preferred flying over road trips. How many of you in here prefer, like, you appreciate the invention of airplanes, right? So I was talking about that, and when I came home, my girls all said, "Mom, we actually really like road trips." Like all of them said, we would usually pick a road trip over a flight. One of my children, whom I will not name, but he stuck with the airplane. But I'm going to share a couple of pictures of some of our road trips with you because you're a captive audience and you have to look at them, and because it does actually relate to what I'm sharing. But so I'm going to show you a couple of the things that we've encountered on some of our trips. So this right here, this is Dead Horse State Park. It's in Utah. Now, please know that I tried to pick pretty good pictures, but they don't do justice to actually experiencing it in person, just the vivid colors and the vast landscape. Other than its name, thankfully we didn't actually come across any dead horses, but this was really beautiful. All right, next picture. This is Black Canyon in Colorado. It is a national park, and it is, as you can see, just full of amazing, beautiful, dangerous, terrifying, if you have young children, vistas. All right, next picture. This is Death Valley, which has become one of my favorite places in the world. We hadn't planned to go to it. A couple of road trips ago, and we had talked about it and then decided why would we take our van with 8 children into Death Valley. But then as we were going, we thought, well, we can't pass it up. So we went and we loved it so much that we actually went through it again on our way back. It's just gorgeous. This picture really, really does not do it justice, but we were in Sequoia National Park. We had no place to stay, but we were caught up in the beauty. There was this gorgeous sunset that we stayed to watch until it got pitch black, and then we were in our van along dark mountain roads. It was super exciting. It gives you, you know, it gives life to your faith as you're crying out to the Lord. We found an amazing lodge to stay in, and it was a highlight of the trip. I think there's one more picture. Dixie National Forest. Now, this was some place that we didn't even know existed. We were driving from one place to the next a couple road trips ago. This picture really doesn't do it justice, but when we came home, we had been on a month-long road trip, and we were talking about the highlights of it. Every person mentioned Dixie National Forest, which wasn't even a place we went to. It was just a place we drove through because we caught it right at the height of autumn colors, and it was just breathtakingly beautiful. So, what do all of these things have in common? These are all places on our road trips that we did not try to go to. They were just places that we happened upon, that we drove through on our way to something else. In other words, if we would have flown to our destination, we would have completely missed it. And I have a bajillion other examples that I could share, but for time and for your sanity, I won't. But this is why I love road trips, because there are so many treasures that you couldn't plan for. Because along the journey, the world opens up to you in ways that you don't expect. That's the beauty of driving someplace instead of flying. Now, the thing about it is that the other part of the journey of a road trip are, you know, I won't name the states because I don't want to speak ill of anybody or any of your beloved places, but some of the states don't look like that when you drive through them. You know, some of them, it seems like the landscape doesn't change for a while, right? So you just have to get through it to get to someplace else, or at least that's how it feels. I know every place is beautiful. You have the, you know, it takes 12 hours to get everybody into the van with all their stuff, and then 20 minutes down the road, somebody has to stop. Like, you know, those are the things of road trips that you endure on the journey because of the treasures that will also exist. So, why am I talking about this? Because life is a lot like a road trip, especially your faith life. Now, this seems a bit of a paradox. You know, we just took communion and we're celebrating the victory that Jesus died to give us. His victory was complete. There's nothing we can add to it. He left nothing undone. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't do most of it and then leave it in your hands, like the fate of humanity? Here, finish it completely, and then we'll see if people get saved. Like, that wouldn't be a good plan, right? He did everything on the cross. He paid the complete price of it. So it isn't that we have to add to that. However, how many of you have not arrived completely? In other words, how many of you have places where your faith maybe needs to change the way you're thinking a little more, or change your behavior a little more, right? How many of you know that your life doesn't completely line up with the life of Christ yet? Now, this is the paradox of faith, is that it is both an immediate transformation and a learning to live it out. In Philippians 1:6, it says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." So the Lord started a good work in you. I don't know if you know this, but he is at work in your life. If you haven't even come to know Jesus personally yet, but you're hearing these words, that is proof that the Lord is drawing you to himself. We can't come to the Lord on our own. He is the one who calls us and draws us. Like, that's what Scripture tells us. So if you're hearing these words, it's because the Lord has started something in you. He's calling to you. He's already begun his working. And that's really good news. You should all look a lot more excited, although, you know, you're wearing masks, so I'll give you a break. I'll just assume you're all smiling. Because this is really good news, because it means not only did he start something in you, but that he's actually going to finish it. That we can be confident in this, that we can be hopeful about this, because he doesn't quit. The thing about this is that it requires persistence, and it requires patience, and it requires accepting the nature of the journey. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. My goal is that when you walk out of here, you're going to be encouraged and hopeful, and you're going to feel okay with the fact that your life is a journey, and that the journey is full of treasures, it's full of good things, it's going to result in transformation, and it's amazingly well that, like, the Lord's going to do amazing things through you and for you and in you. But that it's going to require you continuing on the journey and not quitting. So there are three values to keep in mind in regards to your journey of faith. The first one is this: you are being perfected by the Lord. So this means that you need to let him lead and guide the process. So Galatians 3, verses 1 through 5, it's kind of a mouthful. But don't blame me, because I didn't write it. But there's some really good stuff in here. So this is how it starts out. You foolish Galatians. Aren't you glad Paul doesn't write you letters? Right? Like, wow. Okay. Anyway. All right. You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, this is the part I want to focus on, where he says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So this is the deal. You're in process. It's going to change your behavior. It has to. If you are the same after you come to know Christ as you were before you knew him, then I want to suggest to you that something is drastically wrong. You know, because he doesn't leave you where you're at. He transforms you. He gets into all your stuff. Like, he doesn't just say, no, that's okay. I don't want all of you. I'm okay with, you know, 50%. Like, he gave everything for you, and he wants you. In fact, he demands nothing less, that you're going to give everything to him, right? But, so you're going to change. But it's a process, and this is what is tempting, I think, to all of us, is that we begin our journey in faith, and then somehow we get deluded into thinking that it is of our own power that we're actually going to change. We stop relying on him for the journey. And here's what I want to suggest to you, is that you can change your outward self, but you can't actually change the inside. That happens only through Christ. And that happens only when you stay connected with Jesus. You know, there are times in my life when I have been struggling with something and the Lord has said to me, don't even worry about that. Like, don't even worry about that. Don't lose sleep over it. We're not looking at that yet. Now, is this because he doesn't care about sin or because he winks at that? No. It's because he's actually bringing me on a journey to get me completely free, to get me completely whole. Because he knows that in order for me to address this thing right here, that I don't like, that I'm uncomfortable with, that's messy, that he has to actually deal with this lie over here, and with this habit that I have in my life, and with this hurt that happened, and with this and this, because he's undoing all of this stuff so that I can become free in this area. And if it were up to me, I would just try to change my behavior. And in fact, I do often try to change my behavior, and then I get frustrated. Why do I keep doing this? Why? Why am I going around the mountain again? Like, I've been struggling with this for so long, and I get dejected, and I start to give up, and I feel like a failure. And the thing about it is that I've been going at it the wrong way. I've been trying to do it under my own power. We don't actually get free under our own power, and it is arrogant, and it is foolish, and it is futile to believe that we do. But if instead we go, okay, Lord, you're the one at work in me. You're perfecting me. You're not okay with sin in my life. You're not okay with me being less than who you created me to be. You're not okay with me behaving in a way that dishonors you. Like, if I know all of that to be true, then what I do is I say, okay, Lord, like, I'm completely yours. And I stay connected to him. And in the journey of being connected to him, he brings me into truth. He brings me into light. He corrects me. He disciplines me. He releases grace and mercy over my life. And before I know it, I've changed. And it isn't a temporary change. It isn't that every year I'm having to do the same resolutions over and over again because they don't stick. But instead, he actually makes something alive in me that wasn't alive before. This is how the Lord does things. True change comes from your connection to him. It has to come from there if it's going to last. And also, I just want to add that you don't actually know where you're supposed to end up. You know, like, let's say your life is a journey and you start here. The Lord's trying to bring you way, 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 way over there, right? He's going to transform everything about you. And you can't see it. You don't actually know. So it's foolish to think that you know how to get there. Instead, you know, so we'll do our best and we'll bring ourselves from maybe here to here, you know, but he has greater plans for us. Like, he's actually making us like him. Now, I don't know about you, but it's been a long time since I was out and somebody was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, wait, no, that's not Jesus. That's just you. You know, like, that doesn't happen to me. I don't know. Maybe you're closer to be like him than I am, right? But his goal is that you are going to become like Jesus, that your life is going to reflect him in every single area. And so because that's true, don't you think that you should trust him in the process? Because you're not going to be able to do that. You can be a good person, but you can't be Jesus. You can't be just like him without him actually transforming you. So you have to stay connected. True change comes from your connection to him. And this can be uncomfortable because we like to be in control. It's not fun to live in process, but you should accept it because it's a part of life. And if you accept it, you're going to find that you give yourself grace and permission. And as you give yourself grace and permission to be in process, it actually speeds things up because you're not getting in the way anymore. Not only that, but you're more fun to be around. Because you're not so uptight, you're not worried about the messes, you're not trying to control everything, you're not trying to control the people around you. Because the thing about it is, we are uncomfortable with our mess, and we're also uncomfortable with other people's messes, and so we try to control them. You know, our family has been doing this basement renovation for quite a while now. Okay, we have 8 children and we have 4 of them in 1 bedroom downstairs. And so we expanded the bedroom to make it bigger We had some help. We had to do, electrical stuff. We had to build a wall. Jamie's dad built these beautiful, built-in beds. I can't even really describe them, but so that all of the kids in that room would have some of their own space for their stuff and for themselves, because our kids are on, it's like their whole life is a van ride, because they're just together all the time, especially this year. It's just beautiful. But we homeschool, so part of the basement is becoming this homeschool area. Now this is the thing. This is a really big project, and it's required other people's help. And we didn't go into it with all of the finances to do everything all at once. Our daughters, there's a bathroom downstairs that they share, and it has this blue tile that they all hate. And it builds character, so I'm okay with it. But they want to change it someday. And there's just things that we're going to do as we can afford it, as we have time. Because if we were to try to complete the project right now, then it would be much less of what we want it to be in the end, because we don't have all the finances and all the means to do it right now, right? So we have a vision for what it's going to be. And, by the time our youngest is in school, we're going to have a great homeschool area. Sorry, Josiah. So in the meantime, we make do with our space that we have, but we don't just make do with it. We actually have to feel okay and enjoy it, right? Because it's where we are. So this is kind of a silly example, but I hope that you can see this, that it's the same for your life. If you were to give yourself your own renovation, you would do whatever your capacity was up to right now, whatever you could afford, whatever you could envision, whatever your resources currently are at. But the Lord's not trying to just give you a renovation up to your standard or your current ability. He's trying to do something way, way better. And so it's going to be a process. And if you accept that it's a process and you accept him leading you in it, you'll be amazed at how much beauty and joy there is in your life even now. That you don't have to wait until you're done to enjoy the space. But instead, you can actually enjoy the journey, because there's going to be unexpected treasures as you go on. Amen. All right, so the first value is that you're being perfected by the Lord, so let him be the one who leads the process. The second value is that this is going to require continual, active persistence. It's just what you want to hear after this year, right? Anyone else feeling a little weary? Well, I'm sorry, but I have good and bad news for you. The bad news is that this journey isn't a passive one, but that you have to actually be active in it. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight, take hold. These are verbs, and they're not passive verbs, they're active. They require proactivity on your part. And then Philippians 3, 12 and 14, it says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." All right, he says twice in this passage, "I press on." Now, that phrase there means to run swiftly after something, to pursue it. So the bad news, if you're feeling tired anyway, it feels like bad news, is that you have to actually stir up the fight in you. You have to actually actively pursue, run swiftly after the Lord. Like, there is a fight, it is a battle, and it requires you fighting. The good news about it is that the battle actually isn't yours. You stir your faith and you obey the Lord and you do what he says, but he's the one who actually fights the battle. He's the one whose victory you actually get to rely on. So when you stir your faith, you're not stirring your faith in your own abilities. You're stirring your faith in the Lord. I had this picture once that the Lord gave me when I was having a hard time with something. I was struggling with something. You know, the Lord was bringing me through a process. And I felt like I was being harassed by the enemy. I don't know if any of you have ever felt like this, you know, but I felt like I was being harassed by the enemy, and it was frustrating, and it was discouraging, and I didn't feel like I was up to the task, right? And then I saw this picture of me as a little girl at the playground, and there are kids that are like messing with me, right? And I'm just tired, and I just want them to leave me alone, and I'm like, ugh. You know, what am I supposed to do? And all of a sudden, my dad comes to the playground, right? And he's like, you know, towering, like in the picture, it's my dad, but even bigger, you know? Like, and he walks on the playground, and as soon as he walks on the playground, and everybody knows he's my dad, you know? And the kids just look at him, and they go, whoa. And then they leave. And I thought, huh, that's what it's like with the Lord. Is that he's the one who comes to your rescue. Like, yes, you have to fight. Yes, you have to hold on. Yes, you have to, you know, persist, and you have to do all those things. But the good news of it is that you're not fighting unto your own strength. You're not holding on until you figure out how to rescue yourself. But you're holding on while the Lord completes what he started in you. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You're believing. You have hope because you know that the Lord is the one who is actually going to come to your rescue. That's good news. That's something that you should be excited about. So if you feel like this year has harassed you at all, the good news is that your dad is not unaware, and he's not far off, and he's coming to your rescue. You may not see it, you may not know it, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. So, we are on a journey. We're being perfected by the Lord. It requires us to be active in the process, but he's the one who does all the hard stuff. The third value is this, that this journey is best done in connection with others. In James 5:16, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now, this verse is often used when talking about prayer, and for good reason, because it's encouraging. Your prayers matter. They accomplish a lot. But what is rarely talked about is that this setting is actually in connection with other people. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you will be healed. You know, like, and then in the same verse, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Like, I'm going to have people pray for me because their prayers actually matter. Because when I bring things into the light, that I'm going to be healed. Because community is a key to a healthy and successful journey. I'm not just running a race unto myself. Yes, we all have our own individual journey. Yes, there are things we're going to be held accountable for sure. You have your own relationship with the Lord. But do you know that he put you in a team sport, not an individual one? That you're actually running with other people, you know? And so you have to position yourself in such a way that you are actually genuinely connecting with other people. Now, people aren't going to bring healing into your life if you don't ever confess your sins to them. That's the first step here. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. Now, there's a lot of ways that you can confess your sins. You know, like I could say, okay, now before you leave, make sure you find somebody and go through your list. But that's not really what I think this is talking about. Like, there may be times when, yes, you have to verbally confess your sins to somebody else, right? But I think that a lifestyle of confession is much better. And what I mean by that is this, is that I'm not trying to hide who I am from you. I'm not trying to hide who I am from you because I'm afraid of what you're going to think about me, because I'm on a journey. And I know that I'm messy. I know that there are things in my life that, like, oh, Lord, like, you continue to have grace for me, and I'm amazed, right? But I'm not going to try to put on a front so that you feel okay, or I feel okay about you being around me. Instead, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be vulnerable. It's going to take courage. It's going to be scary. Maybe you're not going to like me as much. But I know that the key to my healing and wholeness, the key to me actually continuing on the journey, is living in the light. That I'm not going to try to hide. Instead, I'm going to try to be open and vulnerable. In 1 John 1, 5 through 7, it says this. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, walking is a journey. In this passage, it actually means to regulate one's life and to conduct oneself. So that means that if we're walking in the light, our life is being regulated by light. Do you know that when people are looking, you make different decisions than when they're not sometimes? Right? You know, I have children, and sometimes I'll stub my toe or something, and what wants to come out of my mouth won't, because there's little ears there, right? Or maybe, I don't know, little ears are there, and so then it does, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe that's more one parent than the other, but I'm not confessing other people's sins, so we'll move on. But the point is... Yes, okay. The point is that when we live our life in connection with other people, we actually change. And it's not just superficially, it's because we actually become better. Because there is something about community that is a healing balm. You know, when you're around people that accept you for who you are and love you, in spite of the things that are wrong, and you know they know what they are, because you haven't hidden it from them. Instead, you've been honest, you've been open, you've been vulnerable, and you are around a community of people that loves you anyway. There is such an amazing healing that happens when you live your life like that. When you allow yourself to be exposed to people and you actually are connected and you genuinely care about the community you're in, you become better because you want to be better for them. You know, I have definitely become a better person as a mom because I want better for my kids because I think they deserve it. I want to be a better example. I want to be a good mom. I want our home to be a place where people flourish, where love exists, where there's peace, where there's grace and mercy and all of those things. So it isn't that becoming a mom, you know, immediately changed my life, but the journey of walking it out, I've become better because I've lived my life in connection with people. And that's one of the things that I love about this house here. Is that when I think back to when we first started this church and who I was and where I was, like, wow. It's amazing what the Lord has done in my heart and in my life in these years. Like, I am a different person in so many ways, and I'm so overflowing with thankfulness because of people that didn't just, you know, tolerate me, but actually loved me in spite of my weaknesses, that accepted me, that accepted my gifts even when they were messy and they were coming out sideways and they were, you know, all over the place, but continued to walk with me and encourage me and love me. Like, that's an amazing thing. And that's what healthy community life is like. You know, our youngest is 2, and she is in a different place on her journey than our oldest. You know, he's almost 18, which, wow. But anyway, he's at a different place than she is, and I'm not expecting them to be in the same place on their journey, because that would be foolish, right? You're not expected to be in the same place in your journey as anybody around you either. The Lord knows you individually. He is intimately acquainted with you. He knows who you are. He has called you before you were even born. He knit you together. He has purposes and plans for you. And he is not comparing where you're at in your journey with anybody else. And neither should you. Instead, if you're willing to be connected and let light come and not be worried about protecting yourself from people, you'll be amazed at how much life there is when we walk in the light together. There is grace for your journey, for where you're at, and you'll have grace for other people's journey too. Because you know what? The person next to you might struggle with something that you don't struggle with. Maybe you have an answer for them, and vice versa. Maybe you don't realize it, but sitting next to you is actually the key to your healing. But you just don't know, and you're not gonna know if you don't live a life in connection with other people. We get to go on this amazingly incredible journey. You know, the only thing I really get jealous about in the world is every now and then I'll see a glimpse of somebody who is so like just secure in who they are, who lives an open and free life, who is like connected to other people and just has joy and is very loving, you know, but nothing in their life necessarily points to Christ. Like, I get a little jealous of that because I think this is what the church is supposed to be. And yet somehow we get this idea that we need to be cleaned up before we enter into that type of relationship with the community around us. That we need to be cleaned up. You know, it's like when you come into a worship service, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but where you come into a worship service and you immediately are trying to make sure that you're right before God before you come in to worship him. You know, so you rob yourself of an experience of connecting with the Lord because you're searching to see if you have any sins because you don't feel worthy of coming into his presence. You know, that's not how it works. The Lord is beckoning you into his presence, and it isn't because he's unaware of the dark corners of your life. He sees them more clearly than you do. I can assure you of that. But when you come into his light, you actually are transformed. When you come in before him, like he actually ministers to you even as you're worshiping him. It's this crazy, amazing thing that happens, but yet we hold ourselves back from him in fear. And we hold ourselves back from other people with the same kind of fear. And the truth is that we don't have to. Healthy community life requires you to be content with where you're at in your journey so that you can genuinely and authentically connect with the people around you. And as you do that, you're going to find that you make it to the next part of your journey so amazingly faster than you would have if you tried to go it alone. You are on a journey, and this is not something to be discouraged about. This is something to be incredibly hopeful for. So my prayer for you guys is that as you are looking into the next year, that you aren't just considering what kind of external changes you might want to make, what sort of goals that you might want to put into your life. You know, go for it. Do those things. But my prayer is that you would recommit in your journey with the Lord, that you would give him access. You know, like he's with us all the time, but do you know that when you actually cooperate and say, Holy Spirit, like I want you to have access to everything. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to go wherever you take me. That this thing happens and he begins to transform us because we're cooperating with what he's trying to do. It's amazing. So my prayer is that you would do that, but that also you wouldn't do it alone. I know that it's difficult now to feel connected to other people because of our circumstances. You know, like it's a stumbling block to community. But there are ways that you can overcome that. But it has to be a priority of your heart, that you wouldn't just connect with people on a surface level, but that you would actually genuinely walk with people, that you would risk being vulnerable and being open. You know, Jamie and I have been married for 23 years. Thanks. So you're forgiving me for before that? Okay, anyway. We've been married for 23 years. We dated before then. We knew each other, you know, as close friends before then. So we've spent well over half our lives in connection with each other. And there are so many good things about that. But the thing that has transformed my life more than anything else has been Jamie has never been afraid of my mess. He's never been put off by my journey. You know, there have been times since we've started this church, especially, where I remember one time sending him an email saying, because I needed to process anyway. So it wasn't like a weird formal thing, but I was needing to process. I had all this emotion. I didn't know how to get it out. And I was just like, the Lord was refining these things in my heart. And I was just like, blah. Like, I don't know if you've ever felt like that. But that was the only way I could really sum it up in person. So that's why I had to do an email. You know, but I was saying to him, I don't think that I should be in ministry with you. Like, I can see for sure that this is the right thing for you. I know God's grace is on you. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm so excited. But my life is a mess. Like, I feel like I'm worse off now than I was before we started this church. How could I possibly continue preaching? How could I be, like, in ministry with you, you know? And he just said to me, time out. Are you quitting your journey with the Lord? And I was like, well, no. And he said, well, then, the only way you're disqualified is if you quit your journey. As long as you keep going, like, he's the one who's called you. He's the one who's leading you. Like, don't be afraid of the mess. Embrace it, because in the process, you're going to get clean. You know, like, he's not encouraging me, by the way, to stay in sin or to hide it or to, like, it wasn't anything like that. But it's about grace for the journey. Like, you only fail if you quit. But as long as you're not quitting, as long as you keep going, it's amazing what the Lord will do in the process. That's how you get clean. That's how you get transformed. That's how you get healed, is on the journey. You don't wait for your journey to start until that happens, or it's never going to happen. All right. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to close. I'm actually going to invite Jamie to come up and close in prayer with me. But I just want to tell you guys that your future is bright. Your life right now is good. You may not realize it. It may not feel like it. But I can say it confidently because the Lord's with you. And everywhere the Lord is good. And so if he's with you right now, then even if things are messy, he is going to make a way to bring you into where you're supposed to be and to make you who you're supposed to be. And so you have every reason to be hopeful, to be filled with anticipation for what this new year will hold.
Would you guys jump to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Good job, babe. So, Lord, we come before you as a people. You encourage us to boldly come before the throne of grace, because there is grace in our time of need. There's grace in your time of need. You know, the Lord's grace will always be there. It very often does not come early, right? You're in it, and you're having to stay connected to him in the process. His grace will be there. You just got to keep going. Don't be afraid. Lord, spirit and truth, that's what you asked. That's what you want. The Father is pursuing people who will worship him in spirit and truth, that authenticity, not accurateness. Don't get mixed up. Truth is not a doctrine. Truth is the authentic, real, actual reality. It's authenticity. It's the core of who you are, and then Spirit giving breath, speaking, giving breath to the authentic person that you are. That's what the Father's looking for, that you would worship Him, and it would be out of that authentic expression of who He made you to be. So, Father, we're asking today that by Your holy light, that You would, Lord, that You'd cause all the smoke and mirrors, all the stuff that's been hiding us from one another, and the pretending, Lord, before You, all that stuff would just fall away, that light would shine, that Your holy wind would come and blow away all the deception of the enemy's lies and ourself, Lord, the stories we tell ourselves to feel okay, Lord, that stuff would just go away, that the light of Christ would shine in every heart today. And now, Lord, we just give permission. We give permission to this body. You're on a journey. It's a good one. Keep your eyes fixed on things above, not on earthly things. Lift your countenance. Look at Him. You're not going to find anger or disapproval as a condescending Father. That's not who He is. He loves you so much. He's with you in it. He's not distant from you. Holy Spirit, I pray that the nearness will become so evident to each one how near You are right now. He's closer than a brother, more intimate than a lover. Your God cares so much. He's a Father who will never leave you. He's a Father who is pleased with you. So don't hide. Let the real become evident. Let the real version of you be true. Holy Spirit, come right now and help unlock hearts this morning. Come on, would you just get real before the Father today? You don't got to be religious. You don't got to be, just get real. Father, this is where I'm at. I'm struggling with some things. You know me. You know where I'm at. That's why I can confess it. I can talk to You about it because You're not far away. I'm telling you, my friends, this journey is... it's one day at a time, one step at a time. The Father has sent His Son Jesus. He paid the ultimate price with His life to create a covenant, a new covenant. And that it is through the new covenant that you get forgiven, that you get washed, your identity changes. It's through the new covenant. What you need to do is receive Jesus' death. You say yes to Him. You embrace the new covenant. And when you do that, everything begins to change because He gives you His Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts to talk to you, starts to lead you. And all you got to do is just keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep taking the journey with Him. As you take the journey with Him, He's transforming you. He didn't say it would be easy, but He said that it would not be lonely. You will be with Him. He surrounds you with people that are on a similar journey, and there's deep connection, and there's so much life and love that gets to be shared on this journey. But what it requires, let's look up here for a moment, is that you can't hide. Don't hide. Don't hide yourself. Don't hide. Don't try to distance so that no one will know. Don't do that to yourself. The Lord loves you so much, and He's surrounded you with people that will choose to be merciful and walk with you. Nobody gets to stand still. We're all continuing the journey. The Places where we get in trouble is when we sink our roots in and we go, I don't want to change. I don't want to. That's where distance becomes, you know, something that divides us. Don't do that to yourself. If you will walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us and we'll have fellowship with one another and true, authentic fellowship with God.
It's not hard. Receive what Christ's done. Put one foot in front of the other. Are you alive? Father in heaven, I pray for each heart today that they would be awakened and that the connectedness of the body of Christ would be so true in these days that there would be no distance. You'd remove that distance. Where there has been deception and the works of the devil and sin that's so easily entangled people, Lord, we decree your mercy over them today, that you would undo those things, that they would walk in the light and that their lives would be filled with joy again. The stuff that distanced them and made them hard of heart, that stuff would be melted away in the holy fire of God. We just minister to you today. Just be washed, be cleaned. Let his mercy be fresh for you today. You don't have to hide. Jesus loves you. God, your Father, loves you so much. And the body that's around you, these are people on the same journey. And so you don't have to distance yourself or be afraid. Father in heaven, we bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his countenance shine upon you. You would know his favor. And his peace would guard your hearts and minds and would keep you. No more torment. No more torment. No more fear. Jesus took your punishment so that you could be free. We bless you today in the mighty name of the Lord. And everybody who dared to agree with these things said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?